Hello, friends. This is the second hour of Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting from the studios of KKNW on 1150 AM here in Bellevue, Washington, just outside Seattle in the United States. The purpose of this program is to raise consciousness and make this world a much better and happier place. And I know that with everyone's help, we can and will make this earth a better place. During the last hour, we did prayers for Fukushima with a wonderful psychic named Judy Calley from Southern California, as well as Jerry Bedlington, who has his own angel team healing. Now we're going to the United Kingdom. We'll be talking to my good friend Simon Parks and Wynne Keach. Simon, are you there?
Hello, Ted. Yes, I am. It's really lovely to speak to you again.
Wonderful. I'm so glad you could come on briefly today. And Wynne, are you there?
I am indeed, Ted. Thank you for asking me on.
Oh, I'm so glad you could both come on today. Simon is a world-famous UFO and extraterrestrial contactee, and Wynne Keach is an amazing and fascinating man. He's proposed a new exchange system for the entire planet, which could eliminate much of the need for actual money. And I wanted to ask you both, how did you ever get interested in this particular topic?
If I just start off and say I'm supporting Wynne. It's Wynne's brainchild. He's the creator of this.
Okay.
And although we are working on it together, in many ways we had both come to the conclusion that it was money, in the true sense of the word, that was holding back the development of humanity. And so Wynne and I both came to this conclusion separately, so it made perfect sense to work together on this. I'd like to actually sort of get Wynne to answer the questions, because he's very technically minded. And I think that for many people who are trying to get their head around how we call it fair exchange, how it can work, So Wynne's the technical man. So Wynne, do you want to sort of launch on with that?
Absolutely. Okay. But first to answer Ted's question, the answer is that I'd looked into various things of a spiritual nature over the last 20 years. And at the start of that 20-year period, I was a world expert in authentication and secure multi-factor authentication. And I then went into the renewable energy industry, and I invented a world-beating super eco-friendly wind turbine called the Ridgeblade. And I saw how renewable energy replaced the dark energy that's produced by burning fossil fuels and by burning atoms, effectively, and replacing it with good, clean, natural, renewable energy. Mm-hmm. And part of that ethos came with me when I started looking at the world financial system. Mm-hmm. And this was triggered a few years ago by a great friend of mine, a fantastic musician, in fact, a couple, David Moss and Masha Kaysner. Mm-hmm. And David pointed out to me that that money was energy, because we were having a discussion. I've never liked money. There's something about money that had always repelled me. And he said, look, it's energy. And in this world, if you're going to achieve anything to its full capability, you need to use it, and you need to use the energy of money. And so long as you understand that it is energy, then you shouldn't be averse to it. And I thought about it, and then I studied the history of money, and I realized that, yes, it is energy, but actually its origins mean that it's a dark energy right now. Mm-hmm. And so I set about replacing what is the equivalent of grid energy in terms of fossil fuel burning and atomic power and dark energy, replacing the same dark energy in money with renewable money, good money. And looking at it, you suddenly realize that what's actually needed on the planet is for the people that are now waking up, people that are now breaking from the bonds of effectively slavery for thousands of years. Mm-hmm. in our society, need to have sovereignty not only of their own spirit, but also over their own finance. Mm. And so Fairex was born from that ethos that this is a system for people, owned by everybody that uses it, operated for everybody that uses it. And so it's their wealth, it's their money, and it's controlled by them. And I just provide the tool to make sure it's safe, secure, and operated in an ethical manner, and that any profit it generates is fed back into making a stronger community globally and supporting eco-sustainability.
And if you don't mind me asking, Wynne, your background is in encryption, isn't it? It's in computer systems, and
it is. I was the the forerunner on PIN technology. They're those little PIN digits you enter whenever you use a credit or debit card, or you log into your bank account. I invented most of those processes over 20 years ago. In fact, some of it nearly 30 years ago.
Wow.
I actually carried out the first ever UK credit card PIN transaction live on the BBC News here 25 years ago.
Amazing.
So, yes, I was at the forefront of that. I brought a lot of the PIN technology you use now, Generation 1, 2, and 3 PIN. And at the moment, you've only just seen Generation 2 PIN. Generation 3 is just sort of squeaking out. I invented that stuff 20 years ago. So, not surprisingly, I bring advances in that technology to make a simple, strong user interface and strong multi-factor authentication process for Fairex.
Well, I have to mention this to both of you, Wynn and Simon, that my good friend Scott Lemery in Los Angeles says that from his contacts in the Galactic Alliance, all human civilizations outside of planet Earth, the ones that are benevolent anyway, don't use money. Money is a means for controlling people, and it was instituted thousands of years ago here on planet Earth by tyrants who wanted to control humanity. And so I think you're on the right track. And when you had told me a story a few days ago when we were speaking about how when the Irish banks failed or they closed for 3 weeks, what happened back then? And tell me.
That was fascinating.
Yeah,
that was in 1970, and that's very instructive as to what can be done on this planet. Mm-hmm. In 1970, in Southern Ireland, the entirety of the banking operatives went on strike.
Wow.
So all the bank clerks, all the bank tellers, they closed all the banks for several weeks. The idea was that they were striking for better pay and better pensions, etc.
Mm-hmm.
And they thought that within 3 days the country would be on its knees,
right,
and that they would give in to their demands and they'd be better off.
Right.
What actually happened was that several weeks later, the country was doing better with the banks closed than it was with the banks open. The economy was actually starting to expand and things were actually running more efficiently. So much so that 65,000 Irish bank employees moved to England to find work because they thought they were never going to reopen the banks. It was so successful having closed them.
Uh-huh. Wow.
The reason it worked is that Ireland, rather like the north of England where I live, operates in a lot of small communities where people know each other, so they have trust and integrity amongst each other. They know each other face to face, and they deal in a very strong community in a very cooperative way. So what the Irish actually did was they just wrote IOUs to one another, mm-hmm, just on anything, any piece of paper, beer mats, postcards, anything.
Wow.
To exchange in a barter or pseudo moneyed exchange. So if you're selling your horse and you want some hay, I will exchange, you know, these three trailer loads of hay for this one horse, and they write an IOU. And what they did was this is very Irish, of course, the pubs became the de facto banks because everybody goes to the pub quite frequently in Ireland.
Uh-huh.
So they all just met in the local pub and just exchanged IOUs.
Wow.
And the whole economy grew. It grew really well. And unfortunately, they settled the strike and they all went back to work. So they restarted the banking system and they set about reconciling all these IOUs. And interestingly, because of the trust level, even though it was just everybody just writing an IOU for anything, less than 1 in 1,000 were actually not honoured, which was a better ratio than the actual banking loans that the banks were issuing. And the reason that the economy expanded was, of course, they reverted immediately to barter trade and then kind of monetary kind of estimates of the equivalence of barter trade,
mm-hmm,
is that they're exchanging a commodity which doesn't have layers of taxation, it doesn't have layers of debt-issued currency, mm-hmm, it doesn't have interest on the loans from the bank. So the actual wealth that was being exchanged far more efficiently. So the economy actually started to grow quite quickly. So this is, of course, part of the principle of Fairex, is that Fairex is very strong on barter exchange, uniquely so. Mm-hmm. So that's personal exchange of alternative value, and also business to business and business to person. But also it has a pseudo currency in there, which is inflation proofed, mm-hmm. which is also important, because if you're going to run as a dual system, so if you're going to run in FairX where it's convenient and efficient for you, mm-hmm. you can also continue to operate completely normally in the normal external banking world. But if the external economy starts to have trouble, which is quite likely, I mean, there's an article actually today in one of the very large UK newspapers saying exactly that, that they're expecting a crash of three separate markets simultaneously in the near future, which is unheard of. Mm-hmm. They're expecting the bond market, the stock markets, and the property markets to collapse simultaneously mm-hmm. in the very near future. And this is quite new territory, which is quite serious. So if that happened and, say, the entire banking industry stopped, rather like the Irish banking system stopped, then basically anything that any monies that you've put into FairX are insulated from that. It's like a lifeboat. So the value is still preserved, because any monies that go into FairX are converted into the values of real things, and that value will never change. Mm-hmm. And the relative value of those things will hardly perceptibly change. So it means that it insulates any damage the external economy might have, but it also means that if the economy just went through a period of constriction, so that interest rates go up, cash liquidity goes down, credit is harder to find, then you can find price inflation, devaluation of currencies, any value you've placed into FairX is insulated from that. So, for instance, if you put a dollar into FairX for balancing barter trades, and you could just buy things, of course, you could just put the money in and just buy things within FairX, mm-hmm. because people will be able to sell things more efficiently, because they don't have these layers of sales and interests and one thing and another. So you can actually buy things at a lower price. So say your loaf was a dollar, and you buy a loaf of bread for a dollar this week, then you have your dollar in FairX, and next week there is a bit of a crash in the old economy, and the value of the dollar drops, say. For instance, it dropped about 8% one day this week on just news of Trump. So it's not out of the question that it could drop, say, 50%.
Right.
In which case, if you went to buy the same loaf the next week, you would have to provide $2 to buy that $1 loaf from last week.
Right.
But if you still had your dollar in FairX, it would still cost you the dollar. That's the difference. So you are insulated from any variations on the outside.
Wonderful.
So that's also important. But at the bottom line is that it gives complete control over everybody. It's a platform and a network for everybody to trade how they want. So it's like a Swiss Army knife of trading capabilities that provides its own internal economy and provides the system and platform so that you can even trade barter items or non-value items that you can actually get a value on, such as selling time to assist somebody or giving somebody a lift in the car, donating time to charity, donating effort, scrap materials, anything you can put a value on. Sure. And the system can use its profits to put values on things that are traditionally not valued, such as the oxygen a forest is producing, so that we can put a value on buying that forest instead of cutting it down. Or we can put a value on the clean water in a river, or anything that has a value that normal corporate values don't apply. We can actually find that real value, the value that helps support community, helps produce sustainability. So it's a new way of thinking, as well as a new way of being able to trade and pay.
And if people, you told me last week too, Wynn, that if people are honest and ethical, they're rewarded for that, aren't they?
Yes, the system works by charging a small surcharge on certain trades within it, mm-hmm. Which pay for the operation of the system and pay for the expansion of the system. Mm-hmm. And any profit beyond that is fed back into sustainability and innovation support, etc. But the way the system works is that the surcharges reduce when you demonstrate integrity. Mm-hmm. So as the more you trade and the more you demonstrate integrity in those trades, the less you pay. But if you don't demonstrate integrity, then you start to pay more. Okay. So if you came in as an outsider and hadn't demonstrated integrity, you come in at the default rate that you have to pay to be part of the system. Okay. And if you start having a percentage of your trades that aren't honorable, then you start to pay more than everybody else for your trades.
Sure.
Whereas if you show good values and you show integrity in your trades, your value will drop to a very low value or even zero.
And Simon, I'm so sorry, we're running out of time here, but if people want to help you or give you ideas or financially support your efforts, how can they contact you, or what would be the best place?
Yeah, they can email me directly, which is win, W-I-N, at fairx, that's F-A-R-X, .uk.
Okay. Wonderful. Well, Simon and Wynn, thank you so much for coming on today. And I'll have you on again as your system progresses. And I'm thank you so much for this wonderful project.
Thank you, Ted, and thank you for caring so much about the world.
Well, my pleasure. That's the purpose of my program, to make the world a better place. And you guys are also helping, doing a wonderful job too. And I appreciate your efforts too.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
All right. Okay. Good night, Simon. Good night, Wynn. Have a good sleep. It's late there in England, I know. And thanks so much for coming on today.
It is, and have a fantastic show, Ted, and fantastic to speak to you.
Okay. Thank you, Wynn. Take care, Simon. Good night. That was my friends, Wynn Keesh and Simon Parks, coming to us live from the United Kingdom. I'm going to be bringing on a wonderful psychic now who channels the Pleiadians. We're going to get her on, take a minute for us to get her on here, and I think she's on. Nora Harold coming to us from Southern California. Nora, are you there? Let's see. We'll see if we can reach her here. I'll tell a little bit about her while we're waiting to get her on the air. For over 20 years, she's been in direct contact with the Pleiadians and the Lemurians and the Lyrans. She's an amazing lady who will be giving messages on air live directly from the Pleiadians. The entire planet is moving faster and faster into the higher dimensions, and I know her messages will have lots of love, light, and wisdom for the entire planet. She's been working as a psychic for decades, and she lives in the Ojai Valley down in Southern California near the near Palm Springs. We'll see if we can get her on now. We tried Skype, and now we'll try maybe a telephone. In the meantime, I'd like to tell you a little bit about my Mount Shasta trip, which I'll be taking next month. It's for a long weekend at the end of June, from June 22nd to the 27th. And when I took a group of people there last September, we had some amazing experiences. And I'll tell you about the Sasquatch. The Sasquatch actually came up at night, and people who are camping at this area will be camping in the same spot in June. They could see, this is really strange to say, but they could see the footprints of the Sasquatch in front of them. They could see the grass going down, but they couldn't see anything physically there in the third dimension, because they were actually in a higher dimension. One of the messages I got from the Sasquatch was that they love cinnamon rolls with white frosting. I know I've mentioned this before, but if you do go on the trip, they would like to ask everyone coming along to bring at least a couple of cinnamon rolls, non-GMO cinnamon rolls, with lots of white frosting.
Hear me?
Okay, good. Anyway, that was kind of a funny story. But if you'd like to come, just send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com or call me anytime at 509-750-9793. Shasta is an amazing place, and I hope you can come. Anyway, Nora, are you there?
Hi, Ted. Hi, everybody. It's great to be here.
Oh, good. Good. I'm so glad you're here.
Oh, me too. Thank you so much for having me on, Ted. And Ted, thank you for being the amazing being of service and love that you are.
Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate you saying that so much. The name of my show is called Out of This World, and I think your topic today is going to qualify as that. I think it's going to be really out of this world. Yeah.
Yes, well, as we hear from our celestial friends and helpers, the Pleiadians. Yeah.
Right. Well, that's why I think you're just perfect for today's show. And could you, if you don't mind. If you wouldn't mind meditating and bringing some of our Pleiadian friends in, and I'd love to hear some of their messages.
Absolutely, Ted. And just to let you know, they're very much into a dialogue. So okay. They'll come in, and then you can absolutely feel free to ask any questions you like. And I may jump in as well. Again, I'm a very conscious channel, so I don't leave when they come in. Nora's still here, so I might have a comment as well.
Okay, wonderful, Nora. And could you please give out your website so people could be able to contact you after the show too?
Absolutely. You can find me at www.noraherold.com. That's NoraHerold.com. That's just my first and last name.
Wonderful, 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 Nora. Well, I'm so happy you could be here today, and I can't wait to hear from your friends.
Yes. Okay. So just give me 1 second here, literally. Greetings. This is the Pleiadian Collective. It is wonderful to have the opportunity to connect with you, Ted, those of you supporting this program and broadcast, and all of you beautiful universal beings of love and light tuning in right now. We thank you for showing up, being present, opening yourselves to our transmission of light and love as you open yourselves to your true identity as love incarnate. And that's where we want to start with you all. That is the foundation of our work with all of you and our message. You are not trying to be higher. You are not trying to be love. You already are love itself, working its way through physical density, operating as creator beings. And when you talk about the ascension process, and when you talk about that raising of your vibration, all you're really doing is finding your way back to your point of origin. Because you are not third dimensional beings at your core. You did not start your cycle of incarnations small and dense and powerless. You all started as source energy itself, the highest, brightest vibration you can imagine. And then source itself, all of you, all of us in this universe as one collective being, we said, wouldn't it be fun, right, to have some adventures, to know ourselves better, to understand our energy and experience as consciousness in a more individuated way, and thus began the creation of this universe and all of the dimensions and the game of dissension, which you all are playing, which we are playing. We're all playing now this game of dissension and reascension. So we want you all to take a breath right now. Just inhale and exhale directly into your bodies. And feel within your heart center the truth of yourself as love incarnate. And then let yourselves work lower right now into your lower chakra system. So breathe into your heart center and magnify that understanding of yourself as love incarnate. And then as you exhale down, allow that knowledge to land in chakras 3, 2, and 1. Let your physical body itself remember that it is love. So, Ted, We're wondering if perhaps you have some questions for us right now.
I do, actually. I do, and it's a very several. There's about a million, but I'll just ask two. This concerns the late Dr. Masaru Emoto, and I had some prayers. We did some prayers last hour for Fukushima, and Dr. Emoto was a wonderful man, and he passed away in October of 2014, and his work is now being carried on by the Emoto Peace Project. What a wonderful office in Tokyo. And I wanted to ask, I've been told by other psychics that he's now with the Pleiadians, and he's actually working as a scientist with their scientists in helping to clean up water here on the planet.
So we're going to give you a multidimensional perspective answer, Ted,
okay.
All right?
Okay.
Because the truth is, he already was with the Pleiadians.
Mm.
As he already is on planet Earth right now, as he is also past, as he is also being born in this moment, as he is also source energy, as he is also every other version of himself that he has ever been.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So run that information, all of you listening, through your heart chakras right now. Don't let your mental bodies try to figure out how that's possible, because we're talking more from a quantum physics perspective that offers you the understanding that all is happening right now, mm-hmm. in this moment.
Mm-hmm.
So he brought with him to Earth in this incarnation. So now we'll speak in a linear kind of sense, right?
Mm-hmm.
He brought with him his Pleiadian identity. And that's just one of his identifiers, as it's one of yours, Ted. That's why you're so attracted to our energy and our vibration. And for any of you tuning in right now that are feeling lit up from within, you are connecting right now with your own incarnations in the Pleiades star systems or in the higher realms as a Pleiadian being. So we're not physical beings, the Pleiadian collective. We are a 12th dimensional collective of light beings operating as one voice in a similar way that spirit guides would operate for all of you on planet Earth or your ascended masters, right? So we're not in physical form ourselves right now. The question you're asking about him is his physical experience in the Pleiades. If you were going to put that on linear time, that's actually a past version of him.
Okay.
But because we're not really on linear time in this universe, yes, he is there. And he is in other places as well. He is in as many places as he wants to be. Because once you are out of third dimensional density, you get to be in multiple spaces at once because you're accessing your multidimensional identity and nature.
I hope you don't mind me asking this question, but are there any messages from Dr. Emoto regarding how we can or I can spread his message of water, of love and gratitude worldwide?
You've got a particular issue on your world right now regarding pipelines and the building of pipelines and some protests about those pipelines. And the phrase water is life was coined as a part of that pushback by those of you on Earth. There's a specific vibratory rate to this idea that water itself is life. It's another way of saying you are love incarnate.
Mm. Okay.
For you personally, Ted, and you're already doing this, we see, but we're going to say it out loud anyway because there are others who are going to want to hear this. Work with the water in your body, right? And feel the water in your body, the life, the love incarnate that is manifesting itself in that liquid form, right? Mm-hmm. So it's really just energy that's projecting itself as water. Work with that water and find within your own water in your body the expansion, the connection, the interactions, the avenues. Feel the flow within yourself as you meditate on his work and that work and your desire to be of greater service. And then allow. Be in that space of allowing. And in fact, one of the things that you're really moving through in this life are lessons around receiving. And as you allow yourself to receive more, Ted, more love, more gratitude, more support, right? And that support finds its way to you then in physical forms, right, of different kinds. That's going to then be reflected in your ability to get these ideas and this work out there even more into the world. We also want to say, and so we're talking about the manifestation process here, right? So we're using you, Ted, thank you, as as our template here, right? Our blueprint for manifestation. But all of you can be reflecting on this right now, all right? So one of the things you've all also got to watch is your attachments and your sometimes that reflexive pushing that comes up in all of you when you really feel like you want to get something done and yet you're not quite sure how, where, when, or feeling frustrated by the process. So if and when you find yourself in that push, right, what's really happening is you're interacting with your own resistance, right? Just take a breath then and step into a more loving relationship with yourself in the moment.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I have to ask you this question, too. I know I'm from the Pleiades, but is it possible to contact some of my family members there?
So when you say you're from the Pleiades, what that means from our perspective is that it is the star system and the planets within that star system. Is one of your favorite spots in the universe to hang out, Ted.
That's true.
Right? Because really, you're from source energy, right? So all these galactic identities that you all have assigned yourselves, that is a lot of fun here as you're remembering yourselves as galactic citizens. And yet, your greater identity is that you are love incarnate, that we are all one in this universe, and that any and all labels or titles or things that separate or differentiate, that's all played out in the lower dimensions, meaning 12 and below, right? Everything in the 13th dimension with source energy is one. So that's the truth of all of your identities. When you ask about connecting with specific family members in the Pleiades star system, we can operate as a voice for that for you. And what we're seeing is one of the reasons you're asking for that is because quite often you don't experience Earth as your home, correct?
That's very correct.
Yes. Now, we see that as very common for many of you who awakened and especially awakened some time ago, right? So, Ted, you've been awake for a long time, right? You've been peeling back the layers of the onion for decades and decades, looking at the stars, remembering other experiences and other star systems and other realities and what felt like the joy and fun and play. And you've experienced some sadness and separation and isolation and homesickness as part of that.
That's true.
What's happening now, however, since you all transcended that gateway that opened during the winter solstice of 2012, is that you're all coming into your sovereign identities on Earth. So you're doing something on planet Earth that has never, ever been done before in this universe. You are in the process of integrating your higher selves, your fifth dimensional identities, into your third dimensional chakra systems. This is the story we tell. We understand there are other stories with other numbers and words and layers. We want you all to use the information that works for you. So if this resonates for you, fantastic. If it doesn't, and another version of the reascension or ascension story resonates for you as your truth, well, that's fantastic as well, because there are as many beings in this universe creating this universe as there are versions of this universe, right? There's not one version of reality here. So the story we tell is that you're in the process of integrating your higher selves, meaning remembering from the inside that you are your higher selves, right? That within the layers of your chakra system, your third dimensional chakra system, you are able to access your fifth dimensional identity. As you do that, you are going to find home in your body in a way that you never have before, your body on Earth. Then, Ted, and everyone else tuning in, you're going to give yourself even greater access to your own records, to the genetic information stored in your body, because, Ted, you're not just Pleiadian as in you've had incarnations in the Pleiades star system, you also carry genetic information in your body that is Pleiadian in origin. Because this world, Earth itself, was originally constructed to be a living library of information. It is a catalog of genetic information from all over the universe. So there were Pleiadian beings who came here during Earth's creation and donated their genetic material to help create the humanoid form, along with many other ET races, right? And all your plant life, all your animal life, all of consciousness and the way it expresses itself on Earth is extraterrestrial in origin. This is why all of you feel often homeless on Earth, right? As if you, you're not, because you're not from Earth. None of you are from Earth. But as you start to activate your awareness, I am physically Pleiadian, physically Arcturian, physically Lyran, physically Lemurian, physically Cassiopeian, on and on and on, right? There's so many races. As you activate that knowledge within your bodies, suddenly life on Earth becomes a lot more fun.
Wonderful, wonderful advice. I wanted to ask your friends, our friends, you know, the planet is rapidly shifting into the higher dimensions. The Schumann frequency for tens of thousands of years was at 7.8 hertz. Last week, it went all the way up. It spiked to 120.
Yes. So the laughing in the background is Nora. I'm just going to explain my process to y'all, right? So like I said, I'm very present here. So I'm laughing like, oh my God, holy crap, right? Things are accelerating right now, right? Trying to be a human and have an everyday third dimensional human existence is impossible right now, which is fantastic because we're not supposed to be having an everyday third dimensional human experience any longer, right? This is the Pleiadians here. So what you're talking about here, Ted, is not only are you humans integrating your higher selves and reascending to a fifth dimensional vibratory rate, but planet Earth itself is doing the same. You're doing this in tandem, right? This is the thing that's never happened before, a species and a planet reascending in tandem. And you are currently experiencing an acceleration of your shift in consciousness. What goes along with that is an acceleration of the transmutation of trauma that you're all still working through. So every single one of you are still transmuting aspects of yourselves from other lifetimes that experienced trauma and for one reason or another could not transmute that trauma in that particular lifetime. So you had many lifetimes, all of you, where you've already done that transmutation work, right? But in this life, as part of the integration and reascension process, you're picking up the pieces of these altars, these other yous in these other lifetimes who experienced horrific things on one side of the story or the other, victim, perpetrator, both. Because any abuser of power is simply running off of earlier trauma anyway, right? So the energy amping right now, right? Earth's vibratory rate increasing, the solar activity increasing, the increasing of light codes and energy coming in from your celestial helpers, meaning those collective beings like us that work with you, and then also all of the planets in your system, right? So you call that astrology. We call that assistance from your celestial friends and helpers, right? Those planetary bodies. All of that is accelerating. It's amping. Everything is magnifying right now because you are in the accelerated portion of your shift. It's quite a ride. This is Nora. It's just quite, it's, you know, and so I just want to share this other piece because there are really two components that I've found for myself to be most helpful as I move through not just this period of time, but as I move through my life in general. So there's the transmutation of trauma, meaning feel it, own it, accept it without judgment, unconditionally love it, whatever it is. And it's that unconditional love piece that allows the transmutation, right? So you can't do this work if you're going to sit in denial and shame and guilt and blame about any of it, right? And that, so that's a big piece of it, is releasing our shame and our judgment and our guilt and just being in a very real, honest, accepting, non-judgmental, unconditionally loving space with ourselves. If we're holding that perspective, we can shift anything. And then the other piece of that is to activate the vibratory rate of joy in our bodies and use joy, the vibration of joy, as the foundation for our creations. This is the Pleiadians here. So as third dimensional earthlings, you were running law of attraction using your emotional bodies to attract your realities to you, not your mental bodies. That's why a lot of you ran affirmation for a long time and found yourselves frustrated often with your results, right? Because your mental body would be saying, I'm rich, I'm rich, I'm rich, I'm rich. Your emotional body was feeling poor, unloved, devalued, not important. Your emotional body always is going to override what's happening in your mental body. So then you would experience gaps in your prosperity or kind of watered down version of prosperity, right? So transmutation of trauma work goes right to the emotional body where you do that work in your emotional body. Then you activate in your fifth dimensional self vibrations and frequencies and you start to operate running law of creation. So in 3D, you run law of attraction. In 5D, you run law of creation. We're taking something that is far, far more complicated and making it very, very simple for all of you right now. And we get that you can understand this. So there's a huge difference between the emotion of joy, right, which feels big and expansive and broad and sometimes kind of crazy and all over the place, right? When you're joyful, you're skipping and dancing, right? You have that image of that and the vibratory rate, the frequency of joy, which is clear, focused, like a laser. Just take a breath, all of you, into your bodies and activate the vibratory rate of joy in your second chakras. So your mental bodies are going to say, how do I do that? So bypass your mental body right now. Breathe into your heart chakras. Exhale down into your second chakra. And just like you're flipping a light switch, activate the vibratory rate of joy in your second chakras. You already know how to do this. You don't need your mind to tell you. And feel that hum start. Let this be the foundation for your creations right now.
Thank you so much for sharing that. This was leading into my other question too, about how can each of us help with this process to make it a better, more beautiful planet. But I think you're already addressing that. So
yes, this is the Pleiadians here. We'll also talk about one other piece when you ask that question, Ted.
Okay.
The idea of oneness, the idea that we are all one in this universe, is something that in theory you all have a very easy time with, and in practical application is a lot more difficult when you look at the quote-unquote perpetrators or bad guys on your world right
mm-hmm.
now.
Mm-hmm.
But the truth is, we are all one in this universe. And the more you can find in yourself the abuser of power you see reflected outside of you, mm-hmm. in that politician, that one that does it so effortlessly and brilliantly and on the big stage and beautifully, right? Aren't they great at that for all of you, right? They're unabashed in their abuses of power, right?
Mm-hmm.
The rest of you, that you're very small and meek, and you hide that shadow and darkness quite often from yourselves, your own shadow and darkness. So see them up on the grand stage there and say, ah, okay, I see me right there. Look at that. That's me. It doesn't matter that I don't agree with what's happening right now. I cannot agree and still say, I see me. All right, I'm going to step into more unconditionally loving relationship with the aspect of me that feels small and afraid and then wants to abuse in that way. That is another big thing you all can do right now in your collective shift in consciousness, because you're all doing this together. We are all, and in fact, we are all doing this together, because one of the things that's occurring now is, as you have your shift on Earth, as you experience this incredible shift in your consciousness, in your bodies, and your bodies are shifting as well, right? So this is why you're all so tired and achy and right. feeling out of sorts at times, and really be gentle and loving with yourselves and drink lots of water, yep. And as you take that water in, feel it as love incarnate, as consciousness, as life supporting you, right? So as you make your way throughout this shift in consciousness, and as you do this collectively, you're going to stop telling yourselves, ah, those who have activated their higher consciousness get to go to the fifth dimension, and the rest are going to have to figure things out here in the third. Because from our perspective, that's not really what's happening. You're mm-hmm. all doing this together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the other thing, this is Nora here, is that there is this ripple effect that's happening across the universe where suddenly fifth dimensional beings are reascending into sixth dimensional beings. That's happening with the fairy collective. So the fairy beings have held a fifth dimensional vibration for eons. And as we reascend to 5D, they're reascending to 6D, you know, and other beings and timelines are changing, you know, galactic wars that went on for centuries, suddenly it will be as if those wars never existed. This is the Pleiadians here, because what's happening is you're playing it all out on planet Earth, right? You're the microcosmic experience there for the macro of the whole universal history.
Hmm.
All time. It's being played out on Earth right now.
That's amazing. So
you're resolving age-old conflicts, and sometimes the resolution comes via a fight over a fence with your neighbor, right?
Oh,
and that
funny.
Fight over the fence was really the two of you killing each other in other lives, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
In your
right.
ships, in right. your ships, right? In right. the Orion Wars and the other wars that took place, yes.
Right. Huh, amazing. I want to run something by you that Nostradamus told me a couple of years ago. He said that by the 2020s here on this planet, that psychic abilities will become very commonplace, and that, for example, if you have a court case, all the judge would need to do is just look at the parties, and he would tell instantaneously whether they're telling the truth or not.
We see that this is already starting to happen, right? Where so many of you are starting to activate your psychic, telepathic, telekinetic, even all of these abilities that you would term as 5D, you're starting to activate them. We can't tell if by that period of time your world will really look that way or not, based on the ego perspectives of the beings involved. Because once the ego gets involved, right, mm-hmm. and the ego starts to judge and doubt, or the ego wants to manipulate, so it's going to depend on the actual experience of the individual being in the moment. There are some beings who will be so integrated during that next decade that you're coming into, right? Mm-hmm. That, yes, they'll easily have that experience. However, there will be others who won't yet be that integrated, who have the ability, yes, but they won't know how to use it, is what we're saying.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's an exciting time for people here on the planet. And the message that I've gotten from the other side, too, is that we all chose to be here at this time. To witness this
absolutely.
Amazing.
Well, you chose not just to witness it, you chose to be here to birth it, to bring it about.
So you too. We're all light workers here trying to change things. Absolutely.
Well, this is the Pleiadians. You've got to remember that this incarnation on Earth was the hottest ticket in the universe. It's why, one of the reasons why, at least, you're experiencing quote unquote overpopulation.
Oh. Interesting.
All
Interesting.
Of these beings want to be in. And the way the game was played in 3D was you cannot conjure up something out of nothing in mm-hmm. 3D reality. You have to mm-hmm. take matter and turn it into something else to create something new, except for even with procreation that happens. But yet you're bringing in new consciousness via procreation. Oh. So one of the things you all did was you radically popularized your world via procreation over the last few decades, the last four decades or so, to assist the integration and reascension process, because every piece of consciousness that comes in brings more energy. Mm-hmm. So all of these beings here and that population explosion has been fueling the integration and reascension experience.
I just learned something. Thank you so much for sharing that. That's amazing.
You're welcome.
That's amazing. We've got about a minute and a half to 2 minutes left, and I wanted to tell you that because I've appreciated your messages so much and for coming on today. But I would love to give you the rest of the time to please say whatever you like to wrap up your beautiful interview today.
Oh, thank you, Ted. This is Nora here. You know, I'm just going to say something here for a moment to every single one of you tuning in about your own connections with your guides and your angelic helpers and your and all those extraterrestrial collectives and the fairies and Yeshua and all of the other beings present. They are right here with you. It does not take a special ability to channel or to connect. It simply takes an open heart and a willingness to suspend your disbelief. And that's where I started in my journey of channeling. I sat down one night with the intention of connecting with a spirit guide and focused my intent and closed my eyes and breathed, and within just a few moments felt the presence of such unconditional love that it was unmistakable to me that I had experienced contact with a guide who presented as male and showed me the color yellow. I had these quick flashes of information, and that was it. It was very brief. This is the Pleiadians. So we'll say to you all, we're right here with you. Take a breath, open your heart, feel us in your lives, believe our presence when you feel us. When your mental body wants to question, ask it to sit in the corner and eat a cookie and just observe.
Okay. All right. Well, Nora, and my Pleiadian friends, thank you so much for coming on today. I know that everyone around the world's listened, really enjoyed what you had to say. Nora's website again is www.norahold.com. And I'm going to wrap up this interview with Imagine by John Lennon. And Nora, thank you so much for bringing your friends here today. It was really fun to talk to them. Thank you so much.
See if you try.